We come today to 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. And this is our 19th study in 2 Chronicles. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem. Amaziah's mother was one of the wives that Jehoiada, the former priest, picked for his father Joash. Verse 2, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. It was a mixed bag, as we will see. The king did maintain the worship of God in Jerusalem, but he also tolerated and even encouraged idolatry a little later on in his life. 3. And as soon as the royal power was firmly his, he killed his servants who had struck down the king, his father. Amaziah found out which servants killed his father, and he killed them. Verse 4. But he did not put their children to death, according to what is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, fathers shall not die because of their children, nor children die because of their fathers, but each one shall die for his own sin. Amaziah knew God's word. And at least here, anyway, he wanted to obey it and evidently not upset the Lord. 5. Then Amaziah assembled the men of Judah and set them by fathers' houses under commanders of thousands and of hundreds for all Judah and Benjamin. He mustered those 20 years old and upward and found that they were 300,000 choice men fit for war, able to handle spear and shield. And so after the army of the south had been scattered in the recent war with Syria, Amaziah regroups the soldiers and takes a census. He's got 300,000 soldiers. Evidently, that wasn't enough. Verse 6, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. And so Amaziah hires 100,000 mercenaries from the northern kingdom of Israel. Then notice verse 7, but a man of God came to him and said, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, with all these Ephraimites. Amaziah had a choice to make. You know, is he going to go with his feelings and hire these extra soldiers, or is he going to trust God? The northern kingdom was deep into idolatry. God told Amaziah he didn't want him to make an alliance with idolaters. If Amaziah is concerned about not being strong enough, then instead of looking to idolaters for help, he should draw closer to God and trust him. Verse 8, but go, act, be strong for the battle. Why should you suppose that God will cast you down before the enemy? For God has power to help or to cast down. If Amaziah goes into battle with the idolaters, then he can forget about God helping him, and then he's going to for sure lose. 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents that I have given to the army of Israel? The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. And so, you know, Amaziah already paid the idolaters. He already paid the mercenaries. It seemed like such a waste not to use them. God said, don't use them. Trust me. I'll make up for the money. If you put me first, I'll make up for the money. You know, just isn't God gracious? He could have said, well, Amaziah, yeah, you paid out all that money, but you should have checked with me before you paid them. And you didn't. So now you're out the money. But don't get in trouble any deeper than what you are by using them. But God didn't say that. You know, he's able to make it up. How gracious God is. How kind. And then it says Amaziah discharged the army that had come to him from Ephraim to go home again. And they became very angry with Judah and returned home in fierce anger. But Amaziah took courage and led out his people and went to the Valley of Salt and struck down 10,000 men of Seir. And so the Israelite soldiers out of the north, those mercenaries, they got their pay, but they didn't get to fight, which meant they missed out on any spoils of war. They were looking for that extra cash, you see. And that's why they were so angry. 12. The men of Judah captured another 10,000 alive and took them to the top of a rock and threw them down from the top of the rock, and they were all dashed to pieces. And believe it or not, throwing enemy soldiers off of a cliff was a common form of execution in those days. It's not as if God is, you know, encouraging the armies of the United States of America to do that to any enemy that they may fight. Verse 13. But the men of the army whom Amaziah sent back, not letting them go with him to battle, raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth Horon, and struck down 3,000 people in them, and took much spoil. No wonder God didn't want his people to be joined by these soldiers from the north. They were unprincipled idolaters who took advantage of the fact that the southern army was occupied, and as a result, they plundered some cities of Judah. Classless act. No wonder God didn't want them connected with his people. 14. After Amaziah came from striking down the Edomites, he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up as his gods and worshipped them, making offerings to them. What in the world is the matter with this guy? He trusted God to give him victory by sending those 100,000 mercenaries back home. God gave him victory. In the victory, he brings back the defeated people's idols, and he worships them. I don't get it. No wonder, you know, what a foolish, stupid thing to do. The record of history and the record of the Word of God shows so clearly that God blesses obedience and punishes disobedience, and yet sinful man still does stupid, foolish, rebellious things like this. And it just, there's no logic to it. There's no logic to sin. 15. Therefore the Lord was angry with Amaziah and sent to him a prophet who said to him, "Why have you sought the gods of a people who did not deliver their own people from your hand?" Good question. Think about it, Amaziah. What in the world's the matter with you? If these gods, which you brought home from the enemy that you conquered, are so wonderful, why didn't they protect them? That makes sense. That's a great question. 16. But as this prophet was speaking, the king said to him, "Have we made you a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be struck down?" So the prophet stopped, but said, "I know that God is determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel." The prophet didn't stop because he was threatened. He stopped because he said everything God wanted him to say. Amaziah did not want to hear the word of God because it condemned him for being bad. But shutting off the word of God doesn't make the condemnation go away. 17. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took counsel and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us look one another in the face." Amaziah really thought that he was big stuff because of his victory over sin. As a result, he threw out a challenge, not sin, his victory over Seir, I should say, over Edom. And as a result, he threw out a challenge to Joash, king of Israel. He says, "Let's fight it out." Oh, he's feeling really tough right about now. Verse 18, and Joash, the king of Israel, sent word to Amaziah, king of Judah, "A thistle on Lebanon sent to a cedar on Lebanon, saying, 'Give your daughter to my son for a wife.' And a wild beast of Lebanon passed by and trampled down the thistle. You say, 'See, I have struck down Edom,' and your heart has lifted you up in boastfulness. Now stay at home, Why should you provoke trouble so that you fall, you and Judah with you? The king of Israel called the king of Judah, Amaziah, a thistle. He was saying, you're a wimp. Just because you whipped Edom doesn't mean you can whip us. Stay home. Don't even try. 20, but Amaziah would not listen, for it was of God, in order that he might give them into the hand of their enemies, because they had sought the gods of Edom. His sinful arrogance caused him to reject God, and God will use his sinful arrogance to punish him too, because he did not repent. Amaziah is in way over his head by attacking Israel, but he's going to do it, and he's going to lose. 21, so Joash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced one another in battle at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his home. So God used Israel to punish Judah, because Judah turned away from God and served idols, even after the Lord had been so good to them. 23, and Joash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem for 400 cubits from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate. Judah captured Amaziah and brought him back to Amaziah's home town and the capital city, Jerusalem. Once there, he had Amaziah watch the destruction and the plundering of his city. Amaziah saw firsthand the consequences of his idolatry and his sinful arrogance. 24, and he seized all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God in the care of Obed-Edom. He seized also the treasuries of the king's house, also hostages, and he returned to Samaria. And so Joash, the king of the north, as long as he was down in Jerusalem, he robbed the temple and the king's palace. And surprisingly, he didn't occupy the city. He just went home. 25. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Surprising to me that Joash didn't kill Amaziah after he had him watch the plundering of his city. In fact, Amaziah outlived him by 15 years. 26. Now the rest of the deeds of Amaziah from first to last, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? And there are more details about the life of Amaziah and all these kings, for that matter, in the book of Kings in Scripture. 27. From the time when he turned away from the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and put him to death there. Amaziah's own people conspired against him and killed him because he turned from God to idols. And that always leads to trouble for God's people. You know, basically the same thing happened to his dad. His own people killed him too. Verse 28. And they brought him upon horses, and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his killers actually gave him an honorable burial, which also surprises me. Well, next time we'll pick it up in chapter 26. Until then, so long, everyone.